This is the White Way broadcast for June 8th, 2013. I am Reverend Richard Tennis, and the title of my talk is Acts of Compassion. Buddhism has a very long history which developed in many cultures around the world. In Buddhist tradition, there are many stories about Buddhists taking great pains to avoid harming any living creature, out of compassion and out of respect for the life of all beings. We should not be surprised at this. When any of us become serious followers of the Dharma, whether through study, meditation, listening to teachers, or just by reflecting on our lives, we can't help but be changed by the light of wisdom with which the Dharma illumines us. There is a Buddhist story I really like. It comes from a wonderful book called The Buddha in the Jungle by Kamala Tiavanich, and it tells about a forest monk in Siam, Thailand, as we now call it, who is named Kruba Kasem. Kruba Kasem tried never to harm any beings, even the countless mosquitoes that are so common in the forests there. When they swarmed around him at night, he would never kill them, but would simply brush them away carefully and try to reason with them, saying, "You have already sucked up enough of my blood. I'm already thin." I don't know if the mosquitoes listened to his argument, but it is clear that he did this out of compassion, out of the compassion he had learned from the Buddha Dharma, and also as an example to others. This attitude toward living things did not stop with insects or animals, as it so often does with most of us. Once, a thief came to where he was spending the night, and thinking Kruba Kasem was asleep, the thief began to steal his mosquito netting, which is a very necessary and valuable thing to anyone who lives in a tropical forest. As the thief was having difficulty untying the knots with which the netting was attached to a tree, Kruba Kasem rose from his meditation and began helping this man. Then he gave the thief his pillow and blanket too, as well as the mosquito net, and told him to hurry away so as not to be caught. Reflecting on the meaning of this, I recall that there are many similar stories in various religious traditions in which a monk or a spiritual seeker treats a thief with love and generosity. Why do they do this? One reason may be that the spiritual life has rid them of the attachments that normally cause most of us to hold tight to our possessions. On the other hand, giving away what you not only value but really need is itself a profound Buddhist practice, the practice of non-attachment and compassion. Another reason for such behavior could have been Kruba Kasem's desire to share a Dharma teaching with this thief so that he might be able to change his path in life. By encountering the unexpected phenomenon of receiving love from his intended victim rather than hostility or fear, the thief might just be able to have learned that there do exist ways of relating to people which go beyond mere self-interest, ways that are based on mutual care and regard. After all, a criminal does not do evil simply because he or she decides, "I want to do bad, I want to be bad." No, such a person bases his actions on the rules of the world that he or she has learned in ways that his own experience have shown to be appropriate. In this way, truly spiritual people may treat those who try to harm them with love and compassion in order to change them, reprogram them, so to speak, to help them to be able to view the world in new ways. A thief naturally accepts the likelihood of being caught and punished for stealing. He has a rudimentary understanding of the law of cause and effect, which we all possess to some degree. He might call it justice or retribution, but the true nature of cause and effect, which Buddhists call karma, is not that simple. A thief or murderer who takes retribution for granted does not necessarily understand the nature of the harm his actions cause others. In fact, none of us can even understand what an other person is or even that others exist until we have experienced for ourselves the compassionate and non-judgmental acceptance of ourselves by others and have learned to identify our own suffering with theirs. In other words, others become real to us when we learn to sympathize and have compassion for them. Of course, mere human compassion may not have quite the effect we desire. Our thief may well have walked away from his encounter with Kruba Kasem with satisfaction at his good luck in having chosen a fool for a victim. In this case, no lesson was learned. In real life, it usually takes much more than an act of kindness to turn a person's life around. Shinran teaches that no compassionate action on the part of any human being is entirely pure. Even the wisest and most compassionate person can't help but retain some vestige of self-interest in everything he or she does. Thus, our attempts to save others are uncertain at best, and even if we intend to help, we might also do harm. In reading this story, I felt that something else is also going on here. Kruba Kasem certainly has less attachment to his belongings than the average person, but this alone would not have caused him to give them up to the first thief who came along. There is no doubt he had compassion for this thief, but we know, and he must have known, that human compassion is always somewhat impure and mixed with self-interest. He may have intended to help the thief change his life, but deeply aware as he was after years of meditation and self-reflection, he would also have had a sober and clear understanding of the implications of his actions. Thinking about it, I have a feeling that Kruba Kasem's behavior was actually a manifestation of what Shinran called entrusting heart. In other words, his response to the thief arose quite naturally and without calculation, out of a condition of deep faith and trust in the Buddha and the Dharma, which is the power of wisdom and compassion. Of course, Kruba Kasem was a Thai Buddhist and had never heard of Shinran, but I have no doubt that his treatment of the thief exhibits the signs of the total faith and trust that Shinran understood as being one with Amida Buddha. We could say that Kruba Kasem's action was a manifestation of the transformative power of Amida's vow, the wisdom light which permeates and embraces all things everywhere. This light is not hindered by our selfish motives or by our lack of perfection. Of course, to our limited and dualistic ways of thinking, thieves and murderers really cannot change. Our selfish minds simply refuse to accept those who do not fit into our conception of what is good. But Kruba Kasem, steeped in the mind and heart of the Buddha, saw this so-called bad person, this criminal, this thief, as the Buddha sees him, without discrimination, without judgment of any kind. All he saw was a living being who needed to be embraced just as he was. When we have this kind of non-judgmental attitude, our minds really are changed. We really do become more compassionate. When we realize that each of us is given life, supported and nurtured just as we are, with all our selfishness and greediness, we are able to stop judging others and to accept them just as they are. This is what we mean when we say that Amida embraces and saves us just as we are, and being embraced in this way, we are also changed. None of us are perfect, and our compassion is always somewhat incomplete. But in the light of Amida's all-embracing wisdom and compassion, each of us is able to see and treat everyone else with love and kindness. May all of us be transformed by the Buddha's teaching, and like Kruba Kasem, may we all share Amida's light throughout the world through our own acts of compassion. Thank you very much for listening to me. I'd like to conclude by reciting the Nembutsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu.